Welcome to the Pain to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed, and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships, and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator, and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery, and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hi guys, I hope you're well and welcome to episode 55 of the podcast. I was on holidays last week in Fuerteventura, which is part of Spain in the Canary Islands, last week with a couple of friends, and I had a gorgeous time. I'd never been there before and I was invited and I just could not say no to their invitation to join them on their trip. And it really amazed me that I could just hop on a plane for 4 hours and be in a very warm country. So I'm back in Ireland now and missing my time in the sun with my girlfriends, but very, very grateful that I had that opportunity. And I'm really, really glad I said yes to that. And speaking of yeses, so today we are going to talk about the importance of celebrating yourself. And the reason why I want to speak about this topic today, and I'm going to keep this episode relatively short, but the reason I'm going to speak about this topic today is because it has come up a couple of times in my own professional life and personal life recently. So I'd love to tell you a little story about it, some thoughts about, you know, the importance of celebrating, how we do it, what we can do, why it matters. And yeah, just get some thinking going with this topic of self-celebration. Okay, so my story is that, and for anyone who's new to my work, I am a women's health coach specializing in the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, and trauma. And I work in the relational space. So I support my clients in their relationship with themselves, with their bodies, and with the world. And that benefits their recovery journey and very often has very positive physical benefits for them. So anyway, because I work with a private practice, I have groups and I do one-to-one work. I get a lot of support for my work. And one of the supports that I lean into is professional supervision. And supervision means that I have a place where I can bring my client cases, I can bring my own feelings, I can bring my worries, my doubts, my fears, anything to do with me personally that is at that intersection of personal and work, or anything to do with my business, really anything that is sort of irrelevant or impacting or part of my client work, whether it's directly or indirectly. So really it's anything because I'm one whole person and my work obviously comes through me. So my supervision is really supportive and really, really helpful. It's not always easy, but it's a very safe space to process things through. And when I bring things to supervision, I always benefit, I always learn something, I always get clarity. And sometimes things happen in my work that I wasn't expecting to happen because of the work that I bring to supervision. So I'm very committed to my supervision. And I was on holidays when my supervision was scheduled and I still attended. I brought my laptop and I did my call from my hotel room. Anyway, sorry, I shouldn't be boasting about that, but I'm very proud of the fact that I take it very seriously. It's really important to me in my work. So I was in my supervision call, and what we are encouraged to do for supervision is to, it depends on the group that you're in and the person you're working with, but this is a group space and we're encouraged in advance to think of anything we want to bring into the space and get support with. And so, you know, it's a facilitated space, but it's also co-created in that, like, you know, I am also responsible for what I bring into the room and what I want to get out of it. So while I was preparing for supervision, I was with my friends on my holidays. We were just relaxing. It wasn't really a very active holiday. In fairness, we were literally just reading books and hanging out in the sun. Well, I was in the shade, but, you know, we were in the shade, in the sun. And a couple of hours before supervision, this is what I usually do. I just kind of have a little think. I don't really do a lot of work. I just sit with myself and I reflect and I ask myself, what's with me? What is with me in relation to work? What am I encountering right now? What am I struggling with? What am I needing support with? Is there anything blocking me? Is there, like, what's the low hanging fruit here? Or maybe there isn't a low hanging fruit. Maybe there's something that I've put off for a while, or maybe there's something in very in particular that I need support with or would like some guidance on. And so I just kind of like do kind of a mental scan of my own work and my own practice and see what I can bring in. And can't think of anything. I think I took out my pen and paper at this stage and I was just like, I can't really think of anything at all that's like needing help. Like, what is here? And I couldn't think of anything. And I usually have no problem thinking of things. And then I kind of like took a step back from that. And I was like, it's interesting that I'm just like looking for a difficulty. I'm just looking for like a problem or a challenge to bring into supervision. And when I took that step back and when I realized that's what I was doing, and I really looked at my practice, I was like, oh my God, I need to bring in celebration, because I have just completed a 6-month professional training. I've brought these women through a very deep process and they're graduating. I'm currently issuing their certificates. And this has been a really big deal. The course, my menstrual cycle coaching and professional training, is in its second year. We've just completed its second year. And it's, you know, it's still in development, but it has really come on quite a lot. And thanks to the people who come into the course and my own lineage and the work that we all do together, there's really a lot to celebrate. And I was very proud of that. And the reason I had said yes to my friend's invitation for going on holidays was because I knew it was around the time that I was finishing the program and that I didn't really need to be in Ireland for, it was just a few days I was there. I was only there for a short week. But I didn't have any like work calls during that time. And I said to myself, you know, I'm going to say yes to this holiday because it'd be a nice way to celebrate and take a rest before I move on to other work related things. So when my supervisor asked us, like, what are you bringing into the space today? I was like, I felt kind of awkward. I was like, oh, I want to bring in my self-celebration. Like, in Ireland, we don't really do that. And I don't think we do that in the Netherlands either. Like, we're both very hardworking and modest nationalities. For those of you who are new to me, I'm half Irish, half Dutch, and I live in Ireland. Socialized more Irish. My culture is very Irish. And we are a very modest nationality, overly modest to the point, like to our own detriment from a business point of view, in my opinion. So, and I was thinking a lot about one of my teachers, Alexandra Pope. And she does an amazing job of encouraging women in her work, in her menstrual cycle awareness work, to encouraging women to learn how to celebrate themselves. And I had learned that from her. And I was thinking a lot about that. And, you know, I was thinking about it for my own clients as well. One of the activities that we did to close the group, because I bring them through a closing process, was to celebrate themselves and each other. And that's very hard. It's a very vulnerable place to be, to like public, well, it wasn't public, it was in these private groups, but in front of other people, to celebrate yourself and receive celebration back. You know, that's a very vulnerable thing to do. And so if I ask my clients to do something vulnerable, I have to be willing to do that too. That's not a comfortable thing to do, particularly for people coming from countries where it's just not encouraged to do that. And even though it's a good thing, it doesn't mean that it's comfortable. And these things can be quite jarring on the nervous system. So I brought in, that's what I brought into my supervision group. I said, you know, finish this course. There's probably a lot of problems I could talk about and discuss all the mistakes that I've made and things that I need to learn. But actually what's really present for me is that I would really, really like to celebrate this and, yeah, celebrate the work that I've put into this, celebrate the group, celebrate the journey. And yeah, so that's what I brought in. So that was really nice. I did feel a bit like awkward, and which is fine, you know, I'm not going to die. And I did that. And then one of the processes that we go through in that particular group is that we hear back from the group through different lenses, and they reflected back what they heard and what they felt, and really essentially were celebrating with me and kind of adding on to the celebration and pointing out things that I didn't think about. And one thing that my supervisor was really celebrating a lot was like that I have managed to do business in a very different way and still have financial success and be, you know, have a positive outcome in that regard. I haven't burnt myself out. I've had to figure out a way to do business in a different way for obvious reasons, health reasons, cycle related reasons, trauma informed reasons, my own feminist values, and that is possible. So, and that's what we've been doing in the group. Like, a lot of what we are learning in this particular professional training is that you don't have to, like, quote unquote, work really hard in order to be successful and to be a coach, to be a teacher, an educator, a facilitator, a business person, an entrepreneur. We don't have to be burning ourselves out and having our insides constantly in this fight or flight response. There is a possibility. There's a lot of possibility for ease if you want it. You know, it's, you know, a lot of it is a choice. A lot of it is getting supports. A lot of it is obviously the systems and the privileges we have too. They of course play a factor, but it absolutely is possible to navigate these barriers and these systems and do things in a way that work a little bit better for us when we can bring all of that unconscious stuff to our attention and have different choices. It's not always easy, you know, when we do things less hard, that can be quite dysregulating to the nervous system. So I was holding a lot of tension throughout the course. I was, you know, not kind of giving in to these temptations to be perfect or to perform or to have all of the right answers for my clients or to try and fix their problems. All of those things that came up, as they all do, always do, you know, in any course, I was did my best to catch them and to not give any kind of false certainty or false hope or project a lot of perfectionism or performance, you know, onto the group. So, and yeah, that's not easy to do because you're going very much against the cultural grain with that. So there can be tension that comes up with that, and it takes a while to learn how to do that. But I think I did a pretty good job, and I was very proud. Anyway, so that was my celebration in supervision. So it was really nice. And after supervision, I met my friends for a bit of lunch where we were staying, and they had some sparkling wine on the menu, which was like £2 a glass. So we had a little glass and a lovely lunch in the sun. And that felt really, really good. So, but the interesting part of this story is what happened next. So that was fine. I came home from my trip and I had a client the next day, and the way I normally start my work is, how are you? What would you like to chat about today? What's with you? Is there anything you want to bring in, or do you want me to bring something in? And she paused and she said, I want to take a moment to really celebrate myself because I have really seen a lot of progress in my PMDD symptoms. And I was just sitting there like, oh my God, I can't believe that she's bringing this in without me even suggesting it. And it was just really, really nice. I felt really pleased for her. Obviously, I felt really proud for her. And particularly the work that she and I'd been doing was similar to the way I'd been facilitating my course. A lot of unlearning, a lot of not having to have like lists and things to check off all the time, and trusting ourselves and going with the flow a little bit more. And just relaxing more into the process and trusting the process and trusting ourselves with the information that we are learning along the way. And so when I'm working with people, I'm not giving them loads and loads of things to do and things, you know, things to change in their life or their lifestyle or things to try. It's really we're working on mindset. We're working on our emotional level. We're working on the spiritual level, the socio-cultural systemic level. We're working on relationships, and it can be quite deep work, but because it's so deep, I do see results in people quite quickly because it's a very needs-based approach. And a lot of people get the permission that they didn't know that they needed, if that makes sense, for the way that they are living their lives and or need to live their lives or want to live their lives, or that the needs that their bodies and their nervous system has. So I'm very much working with the nervous system. So this particular client, anyway, the reason I'm sharing this with you is because then I then told my own supervisor that I said, I can't believe that like my client brought in celebration organically, just self-selected this herself into our client work, right? Like only a few days after I had done some celebration and supervision. And my supervisor said to me, yeah, it's really, really powerful when we process, when we have places to process as professionals, and when we lean into our process, then we align and it does something to our practice, and it creates more availability in us for other things and yeah, things to come our way, and it expands that availability for people to lean into similar things. So very often, and I see that a lot, like very often I don't need to be talking publicly about everything I'm processing and things I'm learning about or things I'm doing. I do believe that on an unconscious level, it's felt there's something happens on that invisible energetic field. I don't know how to explain it. I don't really have language for it right now. And I'm even thinking aloud as I'm recording this podcast, but something definitely happens on that relational energetic field. And just the importance of me as a professional having the right supports and leaning into my own vulnerabilities. How can I expect my clients to celebrate themselves and to do that hard work and be vulnerable with themselves and with someone else if I'm not willing to do that with my own supports, right? And that's really, really, really important. So with all that said, and thank you for listening to my story, I would love to encourage you to think about what celebration means to you. You know, even as I think about the word, some of the things that come to my mind are those chocolates, celebration chocolates that we have. I don't know if you've got those over there in where you're living, but we have chocolates here called celebrations. I also think about the celebration emoji with the confetti. I think about parties. I think about, you know, sort of music and kind of more public displays of celebration. And that's really interesting. It's like it immediately goes to that kind of more outward public exposure type of scenario, when actually a celebration can be a private thing. It can be a really small thing. It can be saying yes to an invitation like I did with my friends. It could be just having that glass of sparkling wine on your lunch, you know, with your friends on holidays or at the weekend. It could be buying yourself a gift or lighting a candle or doing a little ritual or having that meal that you really like, that you don't normally eat, or going for that walk or taking a bath or just watching a lovely movie just for the sake of it. There's so many different ways that you can celebrate yourself. So to think about what it means to you, to think about how you would like to be in relationship with celebration for yourself and how you can mark it if you want to mark it, or even if it's just to take stock for a moment and pause and really reflect on how far you've come and the progress you've made with whatever it is. And then the second part of that is to think about what small things in your life can you celebrate, you know. And I'm certainly celebrating lots of small things. I took a couple of risks recently with some stuff in my personal life, and while that wasn't easy and very uncomfortable, I'm really proud that I did do that. And also, like, what big things can you celebrate? And yeah, and to really think about that, or even in your health or in your mindset or in your relationships. So many things I'm sure that you can think about. And when I think about all this from a nervous system level, what I saw in some of my professional training groups when we were doing the celebration process was that it wasn't easy to celebrate ourselves and to pause and to take stock. It's a very vulnerable thing. And especially if we are, like I said at the very start of this episode, so used to just looking for the next thing to develop, looking for the next thing to learn or improve. You know, it's very natural to just constantly be wanting to move forward and improve all the time. And so our nervous systems might not be used to celebrating. And like, why would we want to stop if things are going well? Like, what's the point in focusing on the things that are going well, you know? But I do think it's really helpful, especially if you are ambitious and creative and, you know, want to pursue new and interesting paths in your life or want to manifest things in your life going forward. It is important to celebrate, because what happens then is you give your nervous system a chance to kind of like be with what is. Like, you know, even that term being with what is very often comes up in relation to difficult stuff. I think it's also helpful to give our nervous system a chance to be with something really positive. You know, even when I remember when I started dating my partner, feeling like really excited and like all of these really uncomfortable, positive but uncomfortable feelings in my body, I had to really take my time with that, because even a positive thing can be overwhelming. So to give your nervous system lots of time to digest, to be with something, to regulate itself, even to regulate those really positive feelings and, you know, excitement and expansion and growth can be very unsettling. And there can be a lot of adrenaline and cortisol attached to the positive things in life. And, you know, a flooding of cortisol and adrenaline, even if it's a good thing, can also equal stress. And so it is important that we give ourselves lots of time and space to really digest all of the positive hormones too. So yeah, I'm going to really encourage you to think about how you can celebrate yourself and how can you bring self-celebration into your life regularly. And it's one of the practices in menstrual cycle awareness I don't always talk about, but in that ovulation inner summer place, to take stock on the cycle and think about what small or big things are you celebrating. And maybe you are working on a really big project that's going to take a few years. And so it is important to take stock as you go and celebrate along the way. I'm working on a big, big project at the moment. It's way too soon to talk about it. But in terms of my process with it, my creative process with it, I'm noticing like these thoughts of like, oh, geez, this can take forever. And it's so draining and so exhausting. But as I'm working through these really small little baby step milestones, I am noticing that it helps me when I pause and take stock and think, oh, wow, I've completed that. That's really cool. It's not perfect, but like, isn't that cool that I've done that, you know? And that is really helpful. And I am not good at this. I'm telling you, this is not my nature at all whatsoever. I'm only getting good at it because I've had to get good at it. And when I saw that magic unfold, when I brought celebration into supervision and then it was starting to organically come up in my client work without me even having to do anything, I just thought, oh my God, this is really helpful and really powerful and really, really important for this, especially for this type of work where it's very much like problem focused and trauma focused, that we do really give lots and lots of space for celebrating and progress and to celebrate wins, even especially when they don't come through hard work. I've had a lot of wins and my clients get a lot of wins from actually working less hard. So that's also deserving of a lot of celebration. So I'm going to leave it there. If anyone is interested in doing any one-to-one work with me, I now do have a waiting list for my one-to-one client practice, but I do have some space coming up and you have to now apply to work with me. So if you just head on over to the link in my show notes and you can read all about how I work. I'm going to be doing more episodes about my one-to-one practice if you'd like to learn more about that as well. And you still do get a free consult call, but you just have to go through an application process first. So that's just one little change. And if you're interested in training with me in the professional training, that is starting in October 2023 this year. You can read all about that as well via the link in the show notes. It's called the Menstrual Cycle Coaching and Facilitation Professional Training. It's a 6-month long professional training. It's accredited. You get 60 continued professional development points as well. And I'm going to be doing webinars over the summer. I'm going to be launching that soon. So you just get if you want to join or if you're interested in joining, just pop your name on the waiting list and you will be getting a lot more information about that in the coming couple of months. So I think that's everything I need to say. So I'm going to celebrate this episode and I wish you a lovely, lovely, lovely rest of your week. And I will talk to you soon. And if you have any suggestions for episodes or topics, or if you are someone who would be interested in coming on and having a chat about something that is relevant to this podcast, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can find my email address in the show notes as well. Lots of love. Bye for now. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week and see you next time.